Hi, I'm Rick Cesari, and I'm going to be speaking with Derek Champagne today.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
I want to take a moment and talk with anyone who is having any challenges with their branding or with building an effective marketing campaign. I'm super excited that my wife, Valerie, and I have a new marketing course, an online course, that we share all of our secrets for building an effective brand and for building a marketing campaign that works and takes all the guesswork out of your marketing, provides an action plan, and gives recommendations for marketing tactics that actually get results. Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, Rick Cesari. He's a co-founder of Cesari Ignite, direct response advertising pioneer, best-selling author, professional keynote speaker, strategic branding expert. Rick, welcome to our show today.
Hey, it's great to be here.
We always like to start to hear about the background of our guests. You've got a really cool story. You've got an impressive background in your career. I'm in the marketing industry myself, and I'm really excited to get to learn from you today. And so give us a little bit of insight about your background, some highlights, and then how it got you to where you are today.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. So it's interesting. I actually have a degree in biology, and I ended up my career in direct response marketing. And the way that got started was my brother and I started a company in 1989 called Trillium Health Products. And we created and marketed both the Juice Man and Bread Man brand. We were both interested in health because our father passed away very young from heart disease. And so that was kind of a personal passion of ours. Hmm. So we started a company teaching people about the benefits of eating more fruits and vegetables and drinking more fresh vegetable juice. And it was probably the right product at the right time with the right message, because the business took off and grew from zero to over $75 million in sales in only 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty phenomenal. So we learned a lot about fast business growth, brand building, just everything you would from having a business grow like that. And we were able to sell the business to a company in Chicago called Salton Housewares. And after, you know, with that fast growth, it was kind of 24/7 I was involved in the business. So I took a little bit of time off, and a local Seattle company that was just starting up called me. They had heard of our success and wanted to know if I could advise them. And the name of that company was called Optiva Corporation. Well, Optiva Corporation were the inventors and marketers of the Sonicare toothbrush. Hmm. And I got involved with them very early and helped them use similar types of marketing, which at the time was a lot of direct response television, but also building, using it, taking a long-term approach to build the brand, create a database. And, you know, from there, after helping grow Sonicare, the next product we got involved in, the company that had purchased us, Salton, was introducing a new product. It was a grill called the George Foreman Grill. So we did all the early marketing for the George Foreman Grill. And at this point, I hadn't planned on doing it, but because we were getting so many people reaching out, I started an agency, which you mentioned in the introduction, Cesari Response Television or Cesari Media. And we just started having the opportunity to work with some really great products and really great companies like OxyClean, Space Bag, Rug Doctor, and probably more recently, we did all of the television marketing and advertising and media buying for the GoPro camera.
That's impressive. Juiceman, Sonicare, George Foreman Grill, OxyClean, Rug Doctor, GoPro, and others. What happened from there? I mean, fill in some of the gaps for me. Was it all just fast always, or what was the timeline like for you from day one to where you are now?
Oh boy, that's a big a question, and you know from doing your podcast and talking with a lot of other entrepreneurs and business executives, it's never kind of a straight line to success. There's always the dips and the valleys and the failures that come along with the successes. And you know, obviously, I gave you the highlights along the way of some of the bigger brands that we've worked with. And just one thing I want to clarify to your listeners: these weren't large companies when they hired us. Almost every one of those products was either a startup or a doing, you know, less than a few million in sales when we started working with them, and were able to help grow the businesses very quickly through a lot of the marketing that we had done for them. And, you know, there's always failures along the way. Let's go back a long time ago to the Juice Man business, because on the surface of it, that sounds like a tremendous success. But one of the things that happened as we were having lots of sales success, everybody kind of followed along, and it was kind of the first time when other competitors could really go over to China and basically make products that weren't as the same quality but a lot less expensive and flood the market with them. And so there were times where – in that business, we were stuck with huge amounts of inventory and cash flow issues, and just were able to work through things like that. But you know, from being in business, it's never a straight line to success. There's always a lot of dips and valleys.
Right. What are a couple principles that you follow that have helped you? Because you have a track record for success. Are there two or three things that stand out to you that this is the way you do business and the way you go to market? Because again, yes, there's dips for you, but I'm even more impressed that you started with these brands and they were small, because they are such household names now.
Yeah, so one of the things I did, you know, I have an existing book out in the marketplace called Buy Now, which recounts some of the backstory behind some of the companies and brands that I mentioned. And I have a new book coming out called Building $1 Billion Brands. And we named it that. I have a co-author named Barb Westfield, who was a CMO at Salton and also at Wolfgang Puck and Homedics. And we partnered on a lot of these products that I talked about. But one of the things that has really struck me, and I bring out in the book, is that even though we started doing this marketing way back, and this will sound like ancient history to many of your listeners, in 1989, you know, the GoPro was relatively recent. And so we found that there's certain fundamental, what I call branding principles, that we like to follow whenever we launch a new product. And some of these are basic things you might learn in marketing school, which I never went to. And so I kind of had to learn them by trial and error. But I've been really impressed with how many of these basic, I call them my five keys to building a great brand. And the first one is developing a powerful USP, or unique selling proposition. You know, what makes your product or business different than any other product out in the marketplace? And when I say different in a better way that would attract customers. And if you can start with identifying that, you're a long way in having success in marketing the product. And just to give you an example of, you know, a USP for the Sonicare, the challenge with the Sonicare toothbrush when it came out was it was a $150 toothbrush, when the most expensive toothbrush at the time, you know, most of the toothbrushes being sold were $1 and $2. You could buy at a drugstore. And I think there might have been an electric toothbrush. It was like $29 or $39. Well, why would a consumer pay $150 for a toothbrush when they didn't understand the technology? And so the USP that we created for that product basically was built on the Sonic technology, but it had the ability to clean beyond the bristles. And that way we could claim a space that nobody else was in. And what was the benefit to the consumer? The fact that it could reach in the nooks and crannies between your teeth and kill the bacteria that cause gum disease. And once we were able to tell that story, product sales just took off for the Sonicare.
Wow. And you developed really a whole new category there.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a good book I recommend everybody. Not this one isn't mine, and you've probably heard of it before, called The Blue Ocean Strategy. And it's perfect. It basically, when you talked about category, that's what we look for when we're launching a new product or business is, what's a category where there aren't very many people in, where we are any, where we can go out and pretty much either dominate or be the number one product in that category. And that's what the concept of Blue Ocean is all about. Go where there aren't any other people.
I love that. And that's great. Yes. Number one, you said develop a powerful, unique selling proposition, something that's different, unique in the category. What's the second key for building?
Well, the second
brand?
One is that I talk about is what I call positioning. And that, again, takes into account the Blue Ocean strategy. But let me give you an example of positioning. And every one of these examples I'm using with real products and some of the brands that I mentioned earlier. But the Juice Man Juicer is an example of repositioning a product. And at the time, the juicers that were dominating the marketplace were made by German engineering companies called Braun and Krupps. And they were selling these products based on their German engineering and, you know, stainless steel blades and powerful motors. Well, when we came along with the juicer, we repositioned it from a kitchen appliance to what I call a health device or health machine, and basically focused on the benefits that you would get from the juice that was made from the machine, and talked about how drinking fresh juices could give you more energy, lower cholesterol, help you live longer. And so we positioned this as a health product, and basically no one else was doing that in the marketplace. And one other real good positioning story has to do with the George Foreman grill. When that product first came out, it was actually called the Fajita Express. And the reason was that it was tilted, and the idea was that they would cook hamburger meat on it, and then you would hold your taco, you'd put it next to the edge of the table, hold your taco, and scrape the meat into it. Well, needless to say, the Fajita Express didn't sell very many units, and what we were able to do is basically reposition it with George Foreman as the spokesperson, as the lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine, with the idea of that here's a grill where you could grill some of your favorite foods, but the fat and grease would drain away, so it would be a little bit healthier for you to eat.
What's number three?
Two is positioning, and then the third is a concept. And, you know, when I'm going through these concepts, this, you know, if you're marketing a consumer product online or a service, think about some of these things and how they can affect or help what you're doing from a marketing perspective. But my third branding key is deliver more value. And basically, it's just an old saying where you under promise and over deliver. And if you think about that, that's almost the opposite of what you see a lot of marketers do. A lot of marketers over promise and under deliver. And that's not the way to build a brand or product sales. So we always believe in delivering more value. When a person buys your product, they're actually getting more than they're promised. And that creates a lot of goodwill in today's marketplace with all the social media platforms. Word of that spreads very quickly, but it's just something we've always believed in since day one when we launch a product.
I think that's great. And that's how you keep customers and get them to refer. And a lot of times we see clients that are working on new customer acquisition all the time, but not working on keeping and retaining the ones that they have already. And,
right.
And you can't always burn through all of your target base.
Oh, absolutely. And you know this from being in marketing, that it's much more expensive to try to create a new customer than to retain an existing customer. And that's also how you build the brand, is just basically making the customer happy at every possible customer touch point with your business and product. And a very simple, and I'll give you an example of delivering more value. There's a couple ways of doing it. You know, when we would sell an initial tub of OxiClean, we might have promised a 12-ounce container in the advertising, but then we would kind of a little bit supersize it into a 14-ounce container, plus put free samples of some of the other OxiClean products like the Kaboom tub and tile cleaner or Orange Glow furniture polish in the box, which enabled us to do cross-marketing, but the people were really receiving more product than they thought. And so they were happy when they opened that box that they got in the mail. you know, with the George Foreman grill or the juicer, we used to include free recipe books to help people create great recipes. Just little added extras like that that are unexpected that give people a pleasant surprise. And then, like you said, people always underestimate word of mouth advertising. And if you can create a happy customer, they're likely to tell two or three or four of their friends about your product. And that's how you start to grow.
Give me number four.
All right. Number four. Again, some of these things you're going to think like, gosh, this is pretty basic. But number four for me is always listen to your customers. And let me explain that in a couple different ways. You want to build that, just like you mentioned earlier, you want to build that long-term relationship with your customer. And to do that, you really need to start a dialogue with them. And you'd be surprised at how few companies actually do this on an ongoing basis. The very first thing we would do whenever we encountered a new product and people wanted us to help market it, if they were already in the marketplace and had some sales, the very first thing I would do is call up 10 to 20 customers, existing customers that had paid money for the product, and sit down and interview them. And I would find out, just in the conversation of talking with them, exactly what they liked about the product, what they didn't like, things that they might want to improve. And I was looking at it from the standpoint of what trends would develop that I would see in the answers. And after talking to about 15 or 20 people, you would always see some similar things. And then I would use that in the marketing of the product, because the people would tell you exactly what they liked about it and what they didn't like. And the things they didn't like, you could overcome those objections in your marketing materials. And then the second part of that is listening to your customers, is the customer service part. And, you know, if you're going to build a big company and a brand, you have to have world-class customer service. And that starts with basically always listening and responding to how your customer is reacting once they receive the product.
Yeah, Rick, that's, you said it's simple, but yes, but it's often overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Often I say, go ask them. We don't know what our customer thinks. Go ask them.
You need exactly. To ask them. It's really, and you know, when I put these together, because I found that I was doing the same things over and over with every product that we worked with, and you know, was having obviously a lot of success with some of them. And these are just the things that stuck out to me that were the commonality between all of the brands that we built. And, you know, you and I could talk for hours about this from a marketing perspective, but I'm just pointing out some of the highlights.
I love it. And I appreciate that. And give me the fifth one. I'm a marketing nerd. I love to learn from guys like you. So keep going. These are great.
Well, so number five is a little bit of an offshoot of listening to your customer. When I would do those customer interviews, I would normally be videotaping or, worst case, audio taping them. And the fifth is really creating powerful, authentic testimonials. And I've always said that if I have 10 really, really good, authentic testimonials, I could sell just about any product. And I'm not saying that from an egotistical standpoint. It's because the testimonials, or the cross section of the testimonials, would enable what one, they work on several levels. I mean, on the face of it, you see testimonials all the time, but testimonials can be used strategically to overcome objections. There's the concept, which you might've heard of before, called social proof, where people are hesitant to react in a certain way, and so they look around and see what other people are doing. And if other people are buying, then that's the reason for them to buy. So with enough really good testimonials, you have a really good leg up in both building the brand and generating sales. And again, these come out of those conversations you have with the customers.
Great advice. And are these things that we'll learn in your Buy Now book?
Yes, these are in the Buy Now book, which you can find on Amazon right now. And then my new book, The Building Billion Dollar Brands, will be out in January. But I have something for your listeners. If they're interested in getting the five keys to building a great brand, and I go into a little bit more detail, I actually have a an e-booklet that they can download. Is it okay if I give out the web?
Yes, please. I appreciate that. It's very kind.
Sure. It's if they want to download the five keys to building a great brand, they can go to Cesari Ignite. So it's my last name, which is Cesari, and then the word Ignite, Ignite, CesariIgnite.com. And they can basically, there's a place where they can download the five keys to building a great brand.
CesariIgnite.com, and you can download the five keys to building a great brand. Are there a few other marketing tips that you want to hear? I know you've got these timeless marketing tips at work, and we are always in the market for learning new marketing tricks and tips.
Yeah, the timeless marketing tips, and again, I believe that if they go to download those five keys, that I also send along 10 or 11 timeless marketing tips. And, you know, the timeless marketing tips are things – here's another one. I basically had learned this lesson really early in my career before I really was involved in much marketing, but it's always to always upsell when you have the opportunity. And the reason is, as long as it's you're not just trying to upsell to generate more revenue, we've always had a lot of success when someone buys – you know, we're marketing good products like a juicer, the George Foreman grill, a Sonicare toothbrush. If there's a good upsell that comes along with it, automatically, just for asking, normally about 20 to 25%, and sometimes even a lot higher, will buy the additional upsell. So from a marketing perspective, if you aren't asking for that additional sale, you're kind of missing out on revenue. Now, this can be abused if you're doing it with the short-term goal of just making more money. I'm positioning this as like, this is something you can do to help build your brand long-term, and that the product you're upselling or products you're upselling fit in and are helpful with the original purchase. But it's always important to remember to upsell. You know, the other marketing tips we've always had a lot of success with using, and I'll use the old term, we used to use key opinion leaders to help us sell the products. For example, with Sonicare, those would be periodontists and dentist professionals. Nowadays, people, you know, we use the term influencers. So from a marketing perspective, when you're launching or trying to accelerate sales, the more opportunity you can have to work with the key opinion leaders in a certain category that will endorse or talk about your product, or the influencers, is something that's always been very effective. And one of the reasons I'm talking about it historically and present day is to really show the people that these are kind of timeless concepts. They worked 25 years ago. They're working today. Basically, the message delivery systems have changed. You know, from newspaper, radio, and TV to Facebook and Amazon and places like that. So, but the basic underlying fundamentals or concepts still work.
I agree. I think that's great advice. Thank you so much. Always, always upsell when appropriate. And the way the terms you laid out on are great. I've often seen businesses, the larger ones usually get it figured out, but I've seen some small, medium-sized businesses that are not even cross-pollinating their services to their existing customer base. So they've got their customers going out and buying competing products when they could be serviced well and would be enthusiastic about purchasing and engaging with them for additional services.
No, absolutely.
I would like to take a few more minutes. We've got just a couple minutes left, but love to talk about you have a topic, what every entrepreneur should learn from GoPro.
Probably, and this is on the second part of the download that the people that will get, the 11 timeless marketing tips. But really what GoPro brought front and center more than anything else is to always, and it was really the secret to their success, if you had to look at a kind of a big picture thing, And, you know, one of the things that GoPro did, they didn't have necessarily the best camera technology when you think that there's Sony, Panasonic, you know, Kodak is bankrupt now. But there are lots of other camera companies out there that have huge research staffs. That they could create better technology. But GoPro did the really simple thing of really coming up with the camera mounts that allowed people, and initially they started with extreme athletes, to really wear the cameras. They could mount it on a surfboard where the camera would be pointing at them, at the person, or mounted on your wrist, or mounted on a helmet. And really, it allowed anybody to be the hero of their own video. And the lesson that I learned, and it was something, is really to make the customer the hero. And a lot of the marketing, I see marketing all the time making the mistake and making it about the company when it should always be about the person you're marketing to. And I think that, you know, that was, if you had to say there was one overall key of you know, marketing success for the GoPro, it was really the fact that they were able to take a technology and really turn it around so that people had the ability to take pictures of themselves and make themselves the hero of their own story or their own narrative.
That's great advice. Make the customer the hero. Make them the hero of the story. Don't make it all about yourself and your product. If you've got a great product and you're highlighting them, it's going to be sustainable and it's going to be successful. Rick Cesari, thank you so much for being our guest. Your book, Buy Now, Creative Marketing That Gets Customers to Respond to You and Your Product, is available now on Amazon. And then you've got your new book coming out soon, early next year, Building Billion-Dollar Brands, Spectacular Success and Cautionary Tales, The Lure of Transactional Branding from Both Sides of the Fence. What can our listeners expect if they engage with either one of those books? What can they expect to get out of it?
I think they'll get more of really basic, common sense marketing and business advice that isn't theory, that really comes from having worked with and helping build these brands. And, you know, one of the things, one of the reasons you've heard about these brands is because the businesses themselves have grown very, very quickly. So there's not only marketing and brand building advice, but there's also advice on how to build a fast growing business. And so this advice works whether you're a service business, a sole proprietor, or a product marketer, a consumer product marketer, or have a consumer product to sell. So lots of great, really proven advice in both those books.
I'm excited about these books. I love practical advice. Rick Cesari, thank you again for being our guest. Our listeners can go to CesariIgnite.com to get the 5 keys to building a great brand. And they can go to Amazon to get your book Buy Now, and then to stay in touch with you with CesariIgnite.com so that they can know when your next book's coming out. Rick, thanks again, and we look forward to reading that next book and then to seeing the next great things that you're doing.
Thank you, Derek. It's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Thank you. I want to invite you to join me in supporting the American Diabetes Association. I've got the honor of being a Kiss a Pig candidate this year, which means I have the opportunity to help raise money for the American Diabetes Association locally. The research, the ADA has been funding innovative research to combat diabetes since 1955. And in 2011, they funded more than $35.75 million a year in research at 139 research institutions across the country. The statistics, approximately 1.25 million American children and adults have type 1 diabetes. As many as 1 in 3 American adults will have diabetes in 2050 if present trends continue. I want to invite you to join me in supporting the American Diabetes Association. You can learn more at diabetes.org or stopdiabetes.com to see how you can get involved.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.